B-Pod Studios.
All right, let's get to the business at hand here. Very important that we talk about the Sixers now and where they are and the man who orchestrated this whole thing, the general manager of the Philadelphia 76ers, joining us, Elton Brand. Elton, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, what's up, Mike? How's everything?
Everything is good, and I know everything is good with you. So I want to get into to how this whole thing comes about. First of all, the mindset that triggers this whole thing from a general manager's office and front office and all your assistants, it was evidently evident to you that this team had to be improved to contend. Can we start with that premise?
Oh, absolutely. You know, we were talking, you know, last time I was on the show early on, and certain people felt we had enough then, and I said it then, like, we need more pieces. We need more. So I don't know if it's going to come within or it's going to develop or do we have to go get it. So I felt like from the beginning we didn't have enough to contend, and we had to look at all our options. Jimmy Butler edition, I still thought we needed more. So now Tobias Harris is here.
All right. Now, when you're looking at this whole thing, and we can look along with you, but you guys are the inside. So you got, like, it's a big rock, and you got all these crevices in it, right? You needed a perimeter defender. You needed a four. You needed a backup for Joel Embiid. So how do you go about getting, like, piece by piece? What's the mindset there?
Mindset is our priority. So it's like, okay, once Joel goes out of the game, so we're top three defense in the NBA with Joel's on the court, period. We were 1-2 early in the year. Once he goes out, it plummets. We're down in the low 20s. We're probably 28th in defense. We need a rim protector. We need a big. Okay, let's focus on that. All right, Boban's available. We need more depth. So how do we get a starter level four man that can shoot threes? We need more shootings. That's for Tobias Harris. Mike Scott for the bench. Jay Minnis. So Jonathan Simmons. So we went piece by piece and just put it together because we knew what the team needed. We see what our deficiencies were.
All right, but it's not that easy because you have to know who's available. So how many phone calls does it take? How much time does it take to go around the league and find out who's going to fill these type of roles?
Oh, no, great point. Yeah, no, I'm so tired. No, you call everyone. You get a lot of fluff thrown at you, things that don't even make sense, people that are wasting your time. You know, I was kind of upset. I had to hang up on a few people. Like, it's just tiresome, you know, but you have to be prepared. You have to put in the work, but you talk to every team, absolutely every team. Some teams don't want to transact with us, of course, because we're running the same race. We're competing with each other, but you still even have to talk to those teams.
All right, now let's say the night of, the Wednesday night, you guys are playing, you're there, and I was at the game also, and I'm watching it. And you know, normally this is where you're hunkered down in the office. You're out there, and people are telling you to acquire this guy, this guy. There's a lot of phone activity that's got to go on during that whole time. So what kind of calls are you entertaining, and are you leaving your seat to go in the back room and talk to somebody? Like, how did that work that night?
Well, that night, yeah, so for the first half, you know, I was trying to spend some time out there just to see the game and just to reassure myself, like, this is Toronto. They have all of their pieces. We are down by 20. We don't have all our pieces. Wilson's out, JJ's sick, but still, are we going to compete with these guys when it counts? Like, I wanted to see that game firsthand, see some of their players, see their athleticism, see their talent level for myself, and then I had to go back to making the calls.
All right, so it was the final nail. You were just, like, reinforcing. You already knew it in your head, but you had to be reinforced by how they performed that night to really trigger the whole thing.
Yeah, it wasn't one night, but it was an accumulation of many things. But for certain, like, that night, I can see for sure we needed more help and more talent and more health. You know, there were some good players. Wilson's a pretty good player, but just I needed someone more dependable health-wise. Because when he played, he did play pretty well for us.
Had you been up by 20, would you have second-guessed?
No. That's what I meant. Okay. That's what I was saying. It wasn't just one night. It was an accumulation of things. It wasn't just one game that I'm going to say, all right, we need to switch this.
All right. Now, here's the thing. It's been reported that you guys had a tremendous interest in Mirotić. And Mirotić does not play that night. He's got a bruised calf or whatever that are keeping him out of it. And Tobias Harris is playing. And it's really interesting to me, like what went on there? Were you in the negotiations with Mirotić and it just didn't work out, and then you shift to Tobias Harris? I know it's a tough question to answer, but I'm trying to get as much insight from you as possible.
No. So you have interest in a whole slew of players, so nothing ever really got close with Miritich. Like, it was a conversation, what's available, what would you give up, that kind of thing. And then the Tobias Harris thing was the same kind of scenario. It's like, what would you give up? How would you do it? When would this happen? And you just talk about it. And the Tobias was playing, and 30-plus points and 5 3-pointers and the game winner, and I thought they might have changed their mind after the game. But
yeah, but it's also a precarious situation, because guys that are about to be traded, you know, that you want to keep them out, you don't want them to get hurt. So, like, what's going through your mind at this point as you're making this deal with these guys? Are you crossing your fingers here?
Oh, absolutely. Like, the question was, like, this is going to happen after the game. Do you want us to sit them out? And I'm just like, no, we're not ready on our side yet. Like, he has to play. I don't want to sit a person out on a game if we're not ready to pull the trigger. So
wow.
That's how fast it happened that night.
That's interesting. So it happened, like, directly after the game is when it turned, like, it's about 2 a.m. and it's maybe up to 10 or 11 in on the West Coast. Is that where it happens, like, right after the game?
Yeah, it was during the game, before the game talks, and then it's like, okay, this thing's official. After the game, we're going to talk about a half hour. Let me talk to my players, let me talk to coach and let the people know that need to know. Agents, we'll get medical, we'll fly them in. But it wasn't consummated until after the game.
All right, we're talking Elton Brandy, general manager of the 76ers, who engineered all these deals that make the Sixers a more complete team. I got to ask you about the Fultz situation, like a million people have asked you. What was the breaking point where you finally said, you know what, we have to do it?
Yeah, you know, he was in L.A. I met with him. I met with his family. We talked about the business of basketball. His agent was there just to say, like, this could happen. Like, I understand your timeline because we want the best. We're supporting you. But our time will most likely change. And, you know, if he was 2 or 3 weeks away from coming back to us, it would take another week or two to get integrated. And we're trying to make a playoff push. And we're trying to make a real playoff run. And we know we dealt with last season when that happened. So that's when it was like, okay, it's time. I can get a first-round pick back. I can get a high second-round pick, probably Cleveland, the most favorable between Cleveland, Houston, Orlando, and Portland. So that would most likely be Cleveland. And another wing in Jonathan Simmons, who we believe that can help us. So that's when it was enough.
Yeah, but you also have to come to the conclusion that it's just not going to work here with him.
With us, in this environment, yes. Yep.
So that was the conclusion you came to.
That was the conclusion, a tough conclusion, because we like him as a person and we're rooting for him. But, yeah, that was the tough conclusion.
Now, there was probably another way you could have gone with, I know Wes Matthews was available. A lot of fans wanted Wesley Matthews, that you could have gotten him at the buyout situation and still kept Fulton, tried to make it work. But the value you were getting with the picks, since you had given some picks, was important to you to get some back?
Oh, yeah. No, that was very important to get the picks back. You know, 3 first-round picks and 10 second-round picks in the next 3 years. So I had to refill that kitty. And also Wes Matthews, I was speaking to his agent, and he thought that situation, he wouldn't be a rental. He knew they had money. He knew he'd have a prominent role, might even start. And that's why he didn't want to come to our team. He's like, hey, you have a better team in their eyes. You'll make a further playoff push. But we're going to go over there because they see that they feel like they can get a next contract. They were thinking next contract.
Yeah, happens. That happens a lot in the NBA where he wants to showcase them. All right, so that explains the Wes Matthews thing. The only thing that you didn't get back was technically, and I know you got some guys that are going to play point guard, but you didn't get a backup point guard other than TJ. So TJ still gets those kind of minutes. A lot of people think that hampers you guys, but what's your feeling on the backup point guard situation?
You know, of course, TJ has won actual playoff games for us. We believe in TJ. You know, I call him Rocco, short for Rocky, because he comes through and, you know, when we need him to come through. Jimmy Butler has played some point guard for us. Tobias Harris can bring the ball up. We have an all-star point guard in Ben Simmons. So I think we'll figure that roll out, and we'll figure out who can play defense on the other team's point guard. I'm not as concerned there.
All right, here's the question I have to ask you about Brett Brown now, because as a general manager in a front office, you do all you can to complete your team. And I think that now everybody can kind of say the Sixers are complete enough to win the East. So does that put the pressure on the coach to deliver the East?
You know, absolutely, all of us. We all have a lot of pressure to contend and go farther in the playoffs, like deep in the playoffs. But he's very happy with where we are. And I wouldn't just say he's under pressure. We're all under pressure for this. Yep.
So the goal, you guys are thinking you got to win the East here. This is the only thing.
That's the goal. That's the goal. Early on, that was the stated goal. And again, we talked about it. I said we weren't there yet. So that's the goal again. But it takes time. These four top flight players are going to have to mesh, and we're going to have to figure it out for sure.
All right. Who will play tonight? How much practice time have they gotten together? What's going on with the flow of all these guys coming on the team and what their availability is?
Yeah, Tobias Harris, Boban, Mike Scott. They're definitely playing. They practiced today, like a light practice, go over some plays. They were in last night shooting. James Ennis is a maybe, depending on the physicals and stuff like that. Jonathan Simmons will most likely be out.
Okay. Elton, listen, great job, and thanks for coming on and giving us some insight.
Always a pleasure.
All right, there he is, general manager of the Sixers. So he pretty much explained everything, a lot more than I thought he would. You know, they did have interest in Mirotić. It wasn't going to come together because they weren't offering enough. Boom, there you go to Tobias Harris. You sweat through that whole thing. You're talking about the deal. They ask him, do you want us to sit out, Tobias? That's interesting that he says, no, you know what? We're not ready to pull the trigger on it. He's got to play.
I think that's the gentlemanly way to do it.
It
worked out. That was like the honest way.
It worked out, but you got to cross your fingers.
No, if he turns an ankle even, and he's out 3 weeks, you're in a lot of trouble.
And the Wes Matthews thing, you're right, we were talking about this before the show. You're all over the rationale. Wes Matthews is going to get more playing time in Milwaukee. He's got a chance to stay in Milwaukee because they have four unrestricted free agents. And if he shows anything, they re-sign him. Pacers.
Yeah. And then the same thing has now happened with Ellington with the Pistons. They lack shooting.
Mm-hmm.
He's a shooter. He's now going to play 25, 30 minutes for them.
Yeah.
He was only going to play 10 to 15 here. Hence why he went to Detroit.
All right, so this is it. This is what you got. No more.
I wonder if Boban's definitely the only center they pick up if they decide they want somebody else. Because Cantor's just out there still.
Yeah.
I just wonder.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Hi, it's the 4 o'clock hour. It's the Mike Missanelli Show, brought to us by Landis Block, your one-stop shop to get a jaw-dropping outdoor paradise online at LandisBC.com. And they also sponsor our next guest who joins us every Friday from 4 to 5. Landis Block, jaw-dropping outdoor paradises online at LandisBC.com. He is the great number 36, Mr. Brian Westbrook. Brian Westbrook, how you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic. I can't complain at all. It's Friday, of course, and our Philadelphia 76ers are now even more relevant than they've been in a long, long time.
Yes, yes, yes. Let's talk about this because you're following along with Elton Brand as he's making these moves. We all agree that they weren't good enough. Now what do you see?
Well, you talk about you add another, you know, 20 points there. You add a guy that can get you 30 if you need him to. If you're having an off night from Ben and Jimmy Butler, you add a guy that's going to give you some ability to space the floor a little bit differently and still can, you go inside, outside with Embiid. And so it just looks like this team has gotten much, much better in a short amount of time. And you have to be able to compete with the Torontos and, of course, the Bucks and the Celtics. And when you add Tobias Harris, I think that you are putting yourself in the position where you could compete with any of those teams in a series of seven games.
Okay, so let's get to the crux of the matter here. Should we expect the Sixers with what they did front office wise, the coach needs to take them home and win the East now? Is that fair to say?
Well, yeah, I think all of these moves, and he's talking about, you know, the moving Fultz out of the way, you're getting Harris in, you move some of the other pieces, Shamet and Muscala, you move those pieces, and now you're saying this is the opportunity for Brett Brown to prove himself. I think there was going to be some time, no matter what you looked at, as far as integrating Jimmy Butler into the offense, integrating him into the team. I think the same type of thing is going to happen with Harris. But it's now up to Brett Brown to be the guy that can make this thing work. and now is the time. I mean, we don't have 2-3 years of sinking guys together, unfortunately. But it's about winning now, winning the East this year, and playing a different brand of basketball in the playoffs than they did last year. And I think now they're set up to be able to do that. Right. I will caution everyone this, and I think we mentioned this last week. When you throw Dwayne Wade, LeBron James, as well as what's the lefty's name that was down
Chris Bosh.
Yeah, Chris Bosh, mm-hmm. together in Miami, they didn't win the first year.
Mm-hmm.
They needed time to gel together to figure things out. And
yeah, they made the finals.
Yeah, they made the finals. They didn't win it, though. I mean, that's the point.
I don't expect them to win it either. I expect them to make the finals. We're not talking about winning now, right?
Well, I am. I can't be
Golden State now.
Well, I think that if you, let's say we make the finals and we make it tough on Golden State, we go mm-hmm. 6-7
yeah,
games.
I'm okay with
then
that.
Then your expectations change a little bit for next year.
Yes. Course. Yeah. So what you're saying, if he's a good enough coach, in the limited time he has left to blend this thing, he still has the responsibility to blend them and get them in the finals.
Well, of course. Of course. Okay. Anytime you make these types of trades, these are win now trades. These aren't let's win 2-3 years down the road. These are win now, show me something now. I caught a little bit of the Elton Brand interview, and he's all about winning right now. This team is built to win now, and you add some guys that can get you points. They can get you buckets. They can defend a little bit, and you have to ask yourself, why can't we win the East? Why can't we put ourselves in a situation where we can go toe-to-toe with the Raptors, toe-to-toe with the Bucks, and as well as the Celtics? Why can't we put ourselves in that position? And I think when you add Harris, you certainly do that.
All right, let's get to this is going to pull at your heartstrings now, because they did give up on the Dematha product. Mm. And I know you were hoping this whole time that something magical might happen,
yep.
and he would turn to a player. What are your thoughts on this whole false thing and the failure of it?
Well, I mean, I'm a realist. Of course, I wanted Markel to come out there and light the world on fire, because I think this team still could use a guy with his talent set. But, of course, the injury, the mental deal that he had going on, all those things played a part in his ability to not get on the floor. And at some point, I think Brett Brown, Elton Brand, and the team itself said, we can't continue to wait for this kid. We can't continue to put ourselves in a situation where we're waiting and hoping no matter what, when he comes back, he can help us. Because there was no guarantee. He's come back before. There was no guarantee that Markel Fultz was going to help this basketball team if he had came back in the next month. And so I certainly agree with Elton Brand. I agree probably with the team. Well, it's time to move on. I mean, they're talking about winning a playoff series. They're talking about hopefully winning the Eastern Conference and playing in the finals. You can't be concerned with the former number one pick at this time and talking about his availability or what's going on. You don't need that type of negative energy. Mm-hmm. At this point, it was time to get rid of Markel.
Yeah.
And it hurts me to say that.
Yeah, and that's exactly what Elton said. It just was evident to them wasn't going to work here. And whether it works somewhere else is not our concern at this point.
Yeah, it certainly is not our Sixers' concern. I think now you have to figure out how you make these pieces work. That's going to be a big deal. I mean, you have to find a space for Tobias Harris. You have to find out where he likes to catch the ball, what's the best position for him to be the best threat on the basketball floor, and then how does he integrate into a game with Ben Simmons. And you had kind of that Joel will continue to be the centerpiece of this offense, but Jimmy Butler has to find his space too. And so I think, you know, in basketball, you want to get the best players possible. And I think when you look at the Golden State Warriors, they have, you know, three all-time players, shooters all around the floor, but they all had to find a space and a spot to fit. And they've done a great job. Steve Kerr has done a great job. I think for Brett Brown, it's going to come down to his substitution patterns. When you take Ben out, then Jimmy, now it's time to get you some buckets. When you take Embiid out, now it may be time for Tobias Harris to start getting some buckets. Those types of things. And that takes time. It takes game to develop that. And quite honestly, in this season right here, you know, we have half the season left. There is some time, but we need all these guys to gel at the right time, and that's the playoffs.
All right, I do have some football issues to talk to you about, because the Eagles and their movement on Nick Foles, as it turns out, they did pick up the option. He did decline the option. They immediately made him the franchise player. What are your thoughts on how they're handling this? I actually kind of thought that once he bought out of the option, they would have just settled for the compensatory pick and not gone as far as the franchise tag. Did they do the right thing?
Yeah, I mean, it's weird, because I think if you're Howie Roseman, you're trying your best to get something for Nick Foles. I mean, that's the goal. Yeah, you're playing a bit of Russian roulette with the franchise tag and not being able to trade him, those types of things. I think they made the right decision picking up the option, obviously, Nick, mm-hmm. and this is the big part for him. He wants out. He wants to be able to go out there and be a free agent and make the most money. To me, it was kind of funny because he had that opportunity last year as well, and he decided to come back. And this year he said, no. Mm-hmm. I'm going for the money. And I just think it's a good situation for the team. I was thinking about this team a little bit, not even just the quarterback situation. I was thinking about some of the holes they may need to fill in this football team. And there's an awful lot of things that they're going to have to do to be prepared for next year, offensively, defensively. And in my mind, you're talking about 7-8 different starters, maybe more different starters on this football team that we expect to be integrated and play well game one of the season. And to me, all that comes back to, can Carson Wentz get back to health? Mm-hmm. Can he carry this football team? Because there will be a lot of moving parts, especially early on in the year.
Yeah, now, they haven't officially declared him the franchise player, but all indications and reports say that that's what they're planning to do. Yeah. So mm-hmm. we're talking about it from that viewpoint.
Yeah, for the franchise tag, for them, that means now they have a small window. I want to say it's February 19th to March 5th to trade him. So they have some opportunity there to move him around just a bit. But if you're another team, you're saying, can I risk him hitting the free agent market? Can mm-hmm. I risk not getting the guy that we want at the right time? Am I willing to trade pieces for Nick Foles?
Mm-hmm.
And he hasn't proved that he can win outside of this Philadelphia market, this team, and this system. I think that's a risky proposition for any team.
All right, let's get to the phones and talk to some folks here. John in Boston joins us. John, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Brian Westbrook's with us.
Hey, Mike. Hey, Brian. Tyrone, Natalie, Brian. I'm a Villanova graduate, and my daughter, both daughters are there now, and one of them wore your jersey.
That means you're a good man, and that means your two daughters are two good young ladies.
And it also means you're paying about $140,000.
That also means you're filthy rich. So I mean, let's talk.
don't get me started. But my point was my younger one is roommates with the Patriots fan, and she wore your jersey during the game on Sunday. So
there you go.
Look at that.
See that?
36 came out.
36.
That's what it's all about.
That's true. So my point on the Eagles is I'm just thankful that the Flyers are doing what they're doing and the Sixers and Phillies, because the whole Foles-Wentz thing is really difficult to listen to, frankly, so I'm glad we're going to move past it. But my questions on the Sixers are, I didn't hear the whole interview you did with Elton Brand. Did he mention Zaire and where he is?
I didn't ask him about Zaire Smith. I don't think that they're thinking they're going to get anything out of Zaire Smith this year.
Okay. Yeah, I just like hearing Brett Brown say his name.
Yeah.
Zaire.
Yeah.
And my other point on the Sixers is my bugaboo with them this year has been that, every game, an anonymous guard who's never heard of before gets career high +4. Does the trade fix that?
I think on the perimeter, they're a better defensive help team now. They weren't before. Now, depending on how many minutes T.J. McConnell is going to play, that I think dictates defensively how good they're going to be. I think his minutes will be cut down.
Yeah, T.J.'s mm-hmm. minutes have to go way down.
Although they don't have a backup point guard, so I don't know what
Jimmy's a backup point guard.
That's what I mean. Jimmy Butler's going to have to do it. So I don't know. Like, I would like to see T.J. limited to 10, 12 minutes.
Well, I think this is what happened. During the regular season, you may see a couple more minutes from T.J. than you'll see in the playoffs. Time the playoff comes, you cut down your rotation a little bit. Jimmy's a backup point guard where Ben needs a breather. I mean, you get Ben right mm-hmm. back in there. Maybe you get a minute or two with T.J., but you can't play T.J. more than 10, 12 minutes a game in the playoff situation.
All right, let's go Al and Kate May. Al, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Al?
Hey, Mike, what's happening?
What's going on, Al?
With the Brett Brand, I mean, he's been through hell and back with the whole process. Mm-hmm. I think we owe him to give him at least half of next season to try to figure it out. I mean, I pray they get out of the East, and I think they will. But to put all the pressure on him, I think is not fair.
It might not be fair, but it is what it is. They got these guys to win the East. They didn't get these guys to say, well, we'll give them the next year to blend it.
Yeah, but do you think with all these egos and talking about Butler, that he can do that with
any other great team can do it. Why can't they do it here? A great team has egos, right? You have to manage them. You have to blend them. Like Golden State, they don't have any egos?
Yeah, but there's something different out there.
Why can't it be different here? Tobias Harris is not an ego guy. He's a team player.
And if Brett doesn't make it through, because I'm probably going to give him to Christmas next year if it doesn't melt, what about Jay Wright?
Well, I think that's going to be, that's going to, if the Sixers don't win the East, that's going to be the main rally cry to go get Jay Wright. I mean, it just is. We can't, there's no way around it. I mean, am I right, Brian?
Well, I think Jay certainly would be an awesome coach. And it's going to come down to how the things play out this season. Can this team come together? One of the reasons why you make a decision in the offseason to get a new coach is because you want that system to have time to pull itself together prior to the season next year, right? Mm-hmm. You don't want to be going in the midway of the season and say, okay, you know what, Brett Brown, we can't do it anymore, because that means the rest of the season, the second half of the season, you're trying to integrate a new coach, and it just doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
I just think that if it doesn't work out this year as far as making it into a deep run into the playoffs, then that means it may be time for Brett Brown to go in a different way. And you bring in the coach that can take this team from a team full of stars into an elite-level basketball team, especially if KD moves around next year as far as him entering free agency.
Okay, let's go to Thomas and Broomall. Thomas, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Thomas.
Hey, guys. Hey, B. I had a question about, the Sixers. Do you think Embiid and Simmons and Jimmy Butler's points are going to diminish? I mean, I don't see four of our starters scoring 20 points a game every night.
No, they're not going to score 20 points, but they're going to give you enough points. So, I'm not worried about the actual number. They have plenty of offensive guys on the floor.
Yeah, they have an offensive power work to do anything. I think what you see on some of the best teams is that one night Embiid may go off. The next night, Tobias Harris. And the next night, Simmons. And it may be a combination of the two. It's not going to be every night all of these guys get 20-plus points. It's just not going to work like that.
Yeah, and also about the Phillies, kind of the same way. You know, like Mike, you were saying about all the home runs that the Phillies should hit with all the power and stuff. If the Phillies get Harper, what's your expectations with the Phillies? Because you want the Sixers to win the East. With the Phillies, if they add Harper, do you see them going into the playoffs,
yes,
winning the World Series?
Yeah, my expectations would be that they would win their division and that they would be a viable World Series contender.
Because with them, you have a whole season. Where with the Sixers now, you only got 28 games.
Yeah, but baseball's different. You don't have to blend in baseball. You just that's an individual sport, really. Collectively, where individual performances. So, that team blending doesn't happen in baseball. You just get the box and hit. Get to the mound and pitch. That's what baseball is. It's not anything about team. All right, now Brian, I gotta give you. I don't know if you were listening earlier. But we had this situation here in Philadelphia where a house was listed, and it's gone viral. The house it's a local home, 5,000 square foot home,
Big house.
Part of the advertisement in it is that it has a kind of a provocative 50 Shades of Grey room, and the photos were published of the room. It says here's the description of the online listing. Full finished walkout basement with Bilco floors, includes a gym or fifth bedroom, and also is a private adult sexual oasis.
Wow.
It can be converted back to a typical suburban basement. So the pictures were published of all these contraptions and stuff in this room. All right. Now we happen to have the listing agent on the phone right now.
Wow. Let's get her on.
All right. So her name is Melissa Leonard. You might even know her, Brian. And she works for Coldwell Banker Preferred. Melissa, are you with us?
I'm with you. I'm here.
Melissa, thanks for coming on. Now, you've gotten all kinds of buzz about this particular listing today, and it's gone viral. Now tell us about your mindset when you get the listing of this house, and this room is part of the photo arrangement of it. What's your next move?
Well, Well, the first thing I thought of was about 50 Shades of Grey and the movie and the books. And I thought, okay, we're going to have to say this is 50 Shades of Maple Glen. And I was all for it. You know, I was fine with it. The seller was worried that I wouldn't be able to handle it. And he wanted somebody very creative that thought outside of the box. And I told him I could do that. And I've gotten it to go viral pretty much. Every news station has come here today to go through it. And it's going to be on TV tonight. And every magazine all over the world has been calling me to write about it. BuzzFeed wrote an article about it.
All right, now, I got to stop here, because did you think this was a major selling point for this? Or like, did you go through any kind of mind game on whether you should include this picture of this room or not?
I just thought that, you know, it's a listing and I'm happy to sell it, and I would just deal with it as it came and how people, you know, reacted to it. But I thought that it would definitely engage curiosity. And I told Philly Magazine about it, and they were on board to write something, and so they wrote an article about it. And they were the first people that I talked to, which was last week when I said, hey, I'm getting this listing. I didn't even think that like ABC or Fox or any of these TV stations were going to call me, but they did. And now I realize it's like I'm getting calls from Arkansas and Los Angeles and Canada saying, hey, you're doing a great job with your social media marketing of this house and good job. But then, you know, the pictures got taken down by the multiple listing service. I guess they didn't like it. And they took down the house pictures of the basement and some of my description. So, you know, everyone that has it is who saw it from last night into this morning.
Well, yeah, and Realtor.com did take it down, because we checked it a little later and it wasn't there. But right. Like, from your personal standpoint, did you think this was a little too risque to publish? Like, you could have published 32 photos and left those three out, right?
This is the house. This is what makes it different. It's a typical suburban house, but it's not, because it has this basement. But it could be converted back to a normal basement if that's what people want. But it's what makes us set aside from every other house on the market.
Brian, what do you think, Brian? If you're a realtor, would you list it?
Well, here's the deal. I think Melissa is a marketing genius, because I'm looking up the 50 Shades of Grey deal. On the first movie, they made $571 million. That means someone's out there is interested in these types of things. And when you say they have this type of room in there, my question is this: what type of people are coming to see the house? That's what I mean,
local
I want to know
people. How about local people are looking at it? Mm-hmm. That's who's renting this property, to have entertainment.
All right, so wait a minute. The owners live in the house, and they rent it out as an Airbnb?
Yes.
Okay.
They get $750 to $2,000 a night, and they are renting it out, and they just become more and more popular, but they want to sell the house, so we listed it at $750,000.
So basically, their appeal to rent it out is that they're attracting swingers.
I don't know if they're swingers, but they definitely want some kind of entertainment.
or something like that.
You don't have to be a swinger to be that type of thing.
You know what I mean, though.
Some people just want that, you know, for themselves. Doesn't mean they're with anybody else.
Uh-huh. Okay, but also,
it's a niche market. I mean, there's definitely people, this stuff exists. It's just like hush-hush, and people don't really talk about it.
You don't have to be a swinger. You may just be into S&M, I think it's called, or
right,
BM.
Or
it's
like,
I don't know.
No, yeah, I get that. But like,
well, I'm
just trying to, okay. from your standpoint, Melissa, you're a realtor, and I'm just wondering, like, the decision that you have to come to is like, because this is a suburban home. It's completely a suburban home. And it's got all the characteristics of a suburban home. And I'm just wondering, like, families looking at this and they go, oh my God, and then they turn off, and you actually lose interest in it because of that.
Well, some people are definitely angry that these pictures are up, or that this is happening in their neighborhood. But, you know, like I said, somebody who buys this house that is a family, you know, can change the basement back to a playroom, to a study, whatever they want. It's just stuff in the basement. It's not the actual basement. So you can take that stuff out if they want it, or they can keep it as an Airbnb if they want, or keep it for their private, you know, stuff that they want going on here. But it doesn't, you know, it is a beautiful, you know, beautiful kitchen, beautiful medicine suite in the heart of Upper Dublin School District. I mean, everyone wants that district. It's great. So it has a lot of beautiful features on it that
let me ask you this question, because listen, you're out and about, and you're a very popular socialite, sort of, right? Like, when you walk into that house and you see that room, what was your reaction?
I, you know, a lot of realtors are asking me, how did you keep a straight face? A lot of people have asked me that question. It wasn't hard for me. I felt fine with it. You know, I just looked at it like, hey, okay, this is what you're into. We'll sell it.
I tell you this. I bet you, you're showing the house. The, you know, the parents are looking around, the husband and the wife, and they get to that basement area. And as soon as, if you're walking ahead of them, they're probably fist bumping. They're cheering just a little bit. They're excited about what may happen down there in this house, in this little space.
Right. They might buy it for that.
Yeah.
Right.
Why not?
Yeah, you
why
don't
not?
Bring the little kids, though.
I hope
see
so.
Nah,
you
listen, it's a great price. It's what is it, 700?
Yeah.
$750,000?
Yeah.
For that house, it's a huge house.
Yes.
Well, listen, good luck with it. And good, and you know, and I guess all the attention has been good for you?
Yes, I think so.
Okay. All right. Now so they're selling the house as is, right?
Yes.
So all that equipment is included.
Yes, and the pool table, and the gym, everything.
Yeah. So if the a potential buyer says they have to take that stuff out before I buy it, would you do that?
Yes, we'll work it.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right, Melissa.
This is where we're
going to
have the Mike Missanelli, Missanelli party at. This is where we're having our party.
Come on over. We'll make it work.
All right, Melissa, good talking to you.
Thank you.
All right, there she is.
I may need to go house hunting now that you got me going here.
But it's startling. It's like you look through 30 photos, and photo 31, you go, bam! What? Well, that's really startling.
And then you get different angles of the room, too. That's what the most interesting part was.
I think this is a great selling point. I mean, if you're a realtor, all you need is a discussion. You need feet in the door. And this is certainly something that'll get the attention and get people in the door. I this is great by Melissa in my mind.
It's going to sell for above asking price.
No question.
It's going to go above.
Yeah, that's
going
to above.
Oh, yeah.
It'll be sold by the end of the weekend. Absolutely.
Yep. All right, we'll get the update on that. Let's take a break. We'll come back on the other side with phone calls. Brian Westbrook till 5 right here on 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.